I want you to open your Bibles with me, please, in the Word of God. We turn to the book of Hosea, chapter 14. And this morning, I want us to conclude the messages we've been speaking on concerning the backslider, concerning those who have gone away from God. And the Lord is calling them back to Himself. And it is going back to go forward. In the 14th chapter of the book of Hosea, it says, O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Take with you words and turn to the Lord. Say unto him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. So will we render the calves of our lips. Asher shall not save us. We will not ride upon horses, neither will we say any more to the work of our hands. Ye are our gods, for in thee the fatherless findeth mercy. I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from him. I will be as the dew unto Israel. He shall grow as the lily, and cast forth his fruit as roots as Lebanon. His branches shall spread, and his beauty shall be as the olive tree, and his smell as Lebanon. They that dwell under his shadow shall return. They shall revive as the corn, and grow as the vine, and the scent thereof shall be as the wine of Lebanon. Ephraim shall say, What have I to do any more with idols? I have heard him and observed him. I am like a green fir tree. From me is thy fruit found. Who is wise, and he shall understand these things? Prudent, and he shall know them. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the just shall walk in them, but the transgressor shall fall therein. And we know that God will add his blessing once again to the reading of his infallible truth for his name's sake. Amen. We find that as you read the book of Hosea, that the waves of denunciation have rolled over Ephraim. And the last wave had poured its flood of judgment over Samaria, which was the seat of power. The existence of the northern kingdom has turned out to be a curse rather than a blessing. And as a nation, that is, the northern tribes called Israel, as a nation, Israel is done. But the people remain, and God's promises remain as well. And as Hosea closes this prophecy, he closes it with a plead from God to his people, the people of Israel, to return unto the Lord. Notice the plea. O Israel, return unto the Lord, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Return unto the Lord from whom they had revolted. Return unto the Lord whose worship and whose service they had forsaken. Return unto the Lord whose word they had slighted and had neglected. Return unto the Lord because they had served idols and they had given themselves over to idolatry and to superstition. And now God calls them back to repentance. Notice what it says. Go back to chapter 11. In verse number 7 it says this, My people are bent to backsliding from me. What a charge from God. My people, he said, my people are bent to backsliding from me. Turn over to the chapter 12 of the book, or rather chapter 13 of the book of Hosea. That was chapter 11, verse number 7. My people are bent to backsliding. And then in chapter 13, God says these words, verse number 9, O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me is thine help. And the Lord is calling Israel back unto himself. He said, O Israel, return unto the Lord, for thou hast fallen. Notice It says, return unto the Lord thy God. Because even though they were bent on backsliding, even though they were rebellious and destroying themselves, notice, return unto the Lord thy God. He was still their God. He was not only God because he was their creator. He was not only their God because he was their protector and provider. But he was their God because of his special choice of them above all other people. And God had made a covenant with Abraham and with Isaac and Jacob, and God called them his people. And so therefore, even though they're rebellious, even though they're breaking God's heart, the call of God through the prophet is this, O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God. He is still thy God. He is still thy Father. But you are rebellious children. You are rebelling against the God who has been gracious unto you and been loving unto you. Notice the word return. There's no half-hearted way, friends. There's no half-cut here. There had to be a definite return. There had to be a repentance. Here's the call of God as we look at the plea. Then notice in verse number 2, we notice verse number 1, the last part of it, the consideration of guilt, for thou wast fallen by thine iniquity. There was the sin. There was the fault, friend. Thou hast fallen. It was their own fault. They were bent and backsliding. God had been good to them. Look at verse 4 of chapter 11. I drew them with cords of a man with bands of love. My, what more could God do for them? What more could God give to them? What more blessing could God give? But he said, Ephraim, Israel, you are bent. You are bent to backsliding from me. What awful sin, what awful guilt. And then last Lord's Day, we notice thirdly, under the plea, we notice not only the call of God and the consideration of guilt, we notice the confirmation of guidance. And in that guidance, friend, I want you to notice, it says there in verse 2, take with your words, the call is to come back to God, but is there a way back? You know, the old devil says to the backslider, you have let the Lord down. There is no way back. You have lost the joy. There is no way back to joy. Thank God, I want you to notice in this 14th chapter of the book of Isaiah, praise God, there is a way back. And you've got to go back to go forward. If you're going to go on with God, friend, you've got to get back to him. You've got to get back to him. You've got to leave your backsliding. Return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen. And then this is the way back. He says, take with you words and turn to the Lord. I want to tell you this, that's not just simply mere words. How many people, when their back's against the wall and there's nowhere else to go, they say, oh God, please forgive me. But friend, there's no repentance. It's not a true confession of sin. It's just, Lord, get me out of the trouble. Lord, get me out of this predicament, and I want to get back to doing what I want to do and live the way I want to live, because you're bent on backsliding. No, God says, listen, there is a way back. But it has to be a genuine way back. There is a pathway that God says you've got to walk, and I'll tell you, here's the pathway, friend. The pathway you walked in the first place when you were a sinner, it's the path of confession. You've got to confess your sin. It says, take with you words, mark this, and turn to the Lord and say unto him, take away all iniquity. There's a confession. Here, my friend, are words of confession by which sin is acknowledged. This is not an empty profession. This is something real, genuine, because notice what it says. It says, turn to the Lord and say unto him, Lord, take away. I want you to take away my iniquity. The wee verse says, I'm tired of sin and straying, Lord. Now I'm coming home. Instead of sacrifices, instead of words of pretense, They're words of penitence. You see, take it away, Lord, because sin, whenever it is really felt, friend, as sin and the guilt of sin, it's a heavy burden. There's a heavy burden of sin. And what God's saying is this: if you mean business with God, friend, if you really mean business with God, then you've got to acknowledge, you've got to confess your sin. Lord, I've sinned. And praise God, you take with them words of confession. Is there someone in this meeting this morning, you said, preacher, if you only knew my heart, I'm tired of my sin, and I'm tired of straying. But I fear there's no way back for me. Listen to the word of God, friend. Take with you words. Turn to the Lord. Yes, that's the only, you've got to turn to him. You don't look to the preacher, you look to him. And you say, God, deal with my sin. Deal with my sin. Because that's the problem. That's where the wound's coming from, friend. It's your sin. And you say, Lord, take away all iniquity. Mean business with God. Now notice not only words of confession, but there's words of consolation here. Notice the next phrase. Receive us graciously. Oh God, receive us for good. You see, you're acknowledging something here. You're acknowledging it is only by grace, God's grace, that we can be received back to him. It's God's grace. God's grace. We don't deserve to get back, but praise God, he's gracious. The word of God says, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thought, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him. He will. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. How can we claim that God should receive us, friend? I'll tell you why. We can say, God, receive us graciously, because you promised. You promised. What he says in his word, 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There's words of confession, then words of consolation. Thirdly, words of confidence. Because notice what it says here. So will we render the calves of our lips. Whenever we cry out unto God and confess our sin, and we ask God to receive us graciously, as the psalmist says, Lord, have mercy upon me. Mercy. Lord, I don't deserve what I'm asking you, but Lord, I'm claiming your word. I'm taking your promises. And I'm standing upon your word. Oh God, receive me for good. Be gracious to me. You know, when God does, as it says, so will we render the calves of our lips. You know, these calves here are not for sacrifice. These are not the calves of sacrifice. The bullocks, the oxen, as under the law. What are they talking about here? It is, my friend, the calves of our lips. You see, the calves used to stand in the stalls. And, of course, they'd be set apart, the bullocks and the oxen, for sacrifice. But these are not the calves of the stall, friend. These are the calves of our lips. And what's that? That is, my friend, the calves of our lips. That is praise and thanksgiving for pardoning grace. Lord, whenever you receive me graciously, then, Lord, I can praise you again. I can rejoice in you again. I can thank you again for your justifying righteousness for all things good. Then, God, we will render the calves of our lips. Oh God, we can rejoice in thee again. What did the psalmist cry? He says, God, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. He didn't lose his salvation, friend. But he did lose his joy. He did lose his fellowship with God. Because when sin comes into a believer's life, and sin, my friend, is allowed to nestle there, if I regard iniquity in my heart, if I harbor sin in my heart, if I let it nestle in my heart, the Word of God says the Lord is not here. But if we confess our sin, thank God He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You can do one of two things, friend. You can harbor sin in your heart, and you can try to close your eyes and say, Lord, it's not my fault at all. Or you can confess your sin and throw yourself in the grace of God. And I'll tell you this, whenever you do that, then you'll render the calves of your lips. You will start praising God again. Why? Because that which broke the fellowship's taken away. And thank God, instead of the breaking fellowship, thank God you've been renewed in fellowship. And the joy comes back into your life again. And the happiness and the praise and the thanksgiving comes back into your life again. You're restored onto the place of joy. And thank God, our gratitude to God, where the calves of our lips, we bear testimony to His grace. You know, God has been good to me. The Lord has forgiven me. I threw myself on the grace and the mercy of God, and thank God He heard my cry. I bring words of confession. I bring words of consolation. I bring words of confidence. But I do something else, friend, because when that happens, then there's words of contrition. Look in verse 3. Asher shall not save us. We shall not ride upon horses, neither will we say any more to the work of our hands, ye are our gods, for in thee, O God, in thee alone, the fatherless findeth mercy. You see, true repentance brings renunciation of sin. We've got to turn from our sin. And thank God they are led to the place of confession, and the place of joy and fellowship has been brought back into our lives because God has received us graciously. And we will acknowledge this. We will say this. What do we say now? Asher shall not save us. What was that all about? See, friend, they're declaring that they're no longer doing as they had done before. You just can't go on looking to others. Your eyes have got to be completely upon the Lord. You see, what happened was this. Whenever Israel got into trouble, she turned to Assyria for help. She desired assistance. She expected deliverance and salvation from Asher, from Assyria. And when Egypt threatened, or others oppressed, then they would run to Assyria to come down to deliver. But now they're saying, listen, I'm not looking to anybody else to keep me, to protect me, to provide for me. I'm looking to the Lord. That's what happens. When you get back to the place of blessing, you've got to turn your back on the Ashers. You can't rely on anybody else, friend. Let me tell you, looking on to Jesus, for He is the author and He's the finisher of our faith. You're looking to the Lord. You get your eyes off others. Other helps. What does the Word of God say? Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling. You've got to look to the Lord, and you've got to return unto the Lord, and you've got to renounce all other helps. You say this, Asher shall not save us. We will not ride upon horses. What does that mean? You see, there was something was forbidden. The kings of Israel were forbidden to multiply their horses, because they were used for military purposes. And God did not, and God does not rely His children to rely upon the arm of flesh. What do the Psalms say? Some trust in horses and some in chariots, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. And once again, it's a renunciation of others, of everything. We're not going to rely on horses. We're not looking to man. We're not looking to anybody else. We're looking to the Lord. We'll not look to other nations. We'll not look to the arm of flesh in the cavalry of the horses to deliver us, because they were forbidden in Deuteronomy chapter 17 and verse 16. But notice something else here. Neither will we say any more to the works of our hands. We're not looking to self either. We're not looking to self. And you know, that's the problem. Quite people, number of people backslide because, you see, the night they trusted Jesus Christ, they were looking to the Lord Jesus because they knew he alone could save them. But then they felt that they had to live the Christian life themselves. In other words, Lord, I trusted you tonight to save me, to save my soul, but Lord, I've got to keep myself. And so they relied upon their own efforts, the work of their own hands. And friend, let me tell you this. You could neither save yourself, neither can you keep yourself. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only one can save your soul. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only one that can keep you. And that's what you cry out instead of looking to the confidence of man. What does it say? It says, for in thee the fatherless findeth mercy. That's what we come to. Lord, it's only in thee. I need you. I need you alone. And that's why we've got to look to the Lord, friend. Child of God, get your eyes of man. Get your eyes of circumstances. Get your eyes on the situation. Get your eyes off of looking to somebody else to help you as a Christian, to walk the Christian life. Lean on the Lord. Lean on him. And thank God the Lord will not disappoint you. Others will. There's the plea. Now, very quickly, let me give you this. Because what will happen then? What will happen? Here's the pledge. Verse number 4. God says, I'll heal your backsliding. He says, I will. Notice he doesn't say I might. He says, I will. He says, I will heal your backsliding. Why does he talk about healing, friend? Because let me tell you, backsliding, when a person goes away from God, there are wounds there. Wounds. Deep wounds. You know what God says? I'm the great physician. I'll heal your wounds. I'll heal it. I'm tired of sin. Weary. Wounded. Sad because you've gone away from him, but praise God, he is the great physician. You know, without real healing, friend, relapses are dangerous things. But praise God, God says, listen, don't worry about relapses. He says, I'll heal. I'll heal. I'll heal your backsliding. And then he says something else. He says, I will love you freely. I will love you freely. Let me say this. He never stopped loving you. Yes, he was angry with your sin. And whom the Father loveth, he chasteneth. God can't let you go on. If you really, and I often look and people say to me, there's somebody who's a backslider and they just seem to just sail through and they never seem to have anything ever comes away. I tell you this, my friend, I have serious problems with that. I have real serious problems with that. Because I believe the Word of God says, whom the Father loveth, he chasteneth. And he scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. And if he's not disciplining, if he's not scourging the person, let me tell you, here's my problem. He never received them in the first place. They were never saved. The Word of God says, make that calling and election sure. There's people, I'll tell you, there's people relying on a profession. And that's all they had. And they're relying on a profession to get them into heaven. I want to tell you this. Your testimony and mine needs to be up to date. It's not yesterday's profession. It needs to be genuine today's possession. I need to be really saved, born again of the Spirit of God. My life needs to be changed. And he says this, I will love you freely. The Word of God says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. When did God start loving me? Let me tell you, I was chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. Before God ever hung the stars in space. Before God ever set the world upon its axis. Let me tell you, God loved me. For as ever born, God had set his electing love upon me. He says, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. And he says, I will love you freely. And one of the problems people have is, will the Lord forgive me my backsliding? Let me tell you, friend, when the prodigal came home, the father was already waiting for him. Tell me, did the father only start loving him whenever he got back home? Not at all. The father never stopped loving him. He never stopped. And God never stops loving us. He says, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. He says, I have freely set my love upon you. And then he says this, for mine anger is turned away. Yes, God has to discipline. But he says, mine anger is turned away. See, where there's a manifestation of God's pardoning grace, thank God there'll always be peace and happiness, because God's anger is turned away. We know that God's anger is turned away. You know, friend, let me tell you this. Whenever a child disobeys his parent, there's a frown on the face of the parent. And it shows a sign of grief. And at times, anger. Because that child's walking in rebellion. But thank God, God's turned his anger away. And then notice what happens here. God says, I'll heal your backsliding. I'll love you freely. And anger's turned away. And then he says, verse 5. He's not stopped promising here. No, he says, I will be as the Jew unto Israel. Now, where does the Jew come from? Heaven. So what does he say whenever he says, I will be as a Jew unto Israel? If you're to go to the Holy Land, friend, they have very little rain, but they have plenty of dew. And the dew come down from heaven. And what does the dew do? It acts as the rain. It refreshes the ground. It blesses. And God says, let me tell you, you come back to me, and God says, I'll bless you from heaven. I'll bless your soul. I'll refresh your life again. And the dew from heaven is a quickening and a refreshing. He says there will be a reviving. The dew falls silently. The dew falls unawares. But the dew in Israel drenches and moistures the vegetation. It may seem little in itself, but the dew brings many blessings. And I tell you, God has promised, not only will he heal your backsliding, not only will he love you freely, not only will he turn his anger from you, God says, I'll pour out blessings upon you. I'll bless you from heaven. I'll bless your life again. Listen, you can get back to the place of blessing. Now, I'm going to give you this here, and I said we're going to have to finish here, but you can study this yourself. Because notice, this is what God says, I will do. I'm going to do this all for you. And we get the pledge from God. Now, notice what happens. Here's the promise. Listen. Israel shall grow as the lily and cast forth the roots as Lebanon. You study this carefully. You know what happens? When you come back to the Lord, friend, Israel shall grow as a lily. You'll start growing again. Spiritually, you'll start to grow. You'll start maturing. And God can make your life, friend, a blessing. The lily was spoken of. Listen, what did the Lord Jesus say? Consider the lily of the field. Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of those. God can make your life beautiful again. He can. The lily. You know, the root of the lily lies buried a long time, and it seems as if it's dead. And then something happens. It starts to spring to life. And the lily starts to grow. And that's what God's saying. God says your life spiritually can start growing up. Growing up. Growing up. But then he doesn't stop there. He says, "Ye will grow. Israel shall grow as the lily." And then it says, "She shall cast forth her roots." Because not only do you start growing up, friend, you start growing down. Your roots shall be cast as Lebanon. What's that talking about? Lebanon, the trees of Lebanon, the cedars of Lebanon. And they were the trees of Lebanon, and they had long, large roots. And they struck their roots firm into the mountain. And when the winds would blow, thank God, the trees, they were immovable. They were unshakable. There was a stability. Why? Because of the roots that went down. And God says, you come back to me and I'll tell you this. God says, you'll start growing spiritually. You'll start growing up spiritually. But I'll tell you, you'll put your roots down into the ground. And that'll give you strength. God says, I'll make you strong. And you see, when the winds of opposition start coming now, and the devil comes to blow upon you, and now to shake your faith, praise God, you'll be able to keep standing. Why? Because your roots are down in there in the ground. Remember the story in the scriptures, the Lord Jesus told the story about the sowing the seed. And there were never one of them said, there were no roots. That's why they didn't stand the test. That no roots. Oh, praise God, the Bible tells us we are rooted in Christ. Rooted in Christ. And God wants to make you strong. And God says, this is what will happen. Whenever I restore unto you the years of the locust of Eden, when I heal your backsliding, when I love you freely, when I turn my anger away, when I put the dew of heaven's blessing upon your soul, then he says, you'll start to grow up, and then you'll start to grow down. Ah, but that doesn't finish. Look at verse 6. His branches shall spread. You'll start to grow out. Now, there's some of us already start to grow out physically. But let me tell you, here's spiritual growing out. You're going to grow out. You're going to become a blessing. Surely, friends, listen. Surely you want to grow. Surely you want your branches to spread. What is happening there? You're reaching out with your witness. It says, listen, it says your branches shall spread and the beauty shall be of the olive tree and the smell is Lebanon. What's the beauty of the olive tree, friend? What's the beauty of the olive tree? It's laden with fruit. Fruitfulness. That's the beauty of the olive tree. You know what God says? God says you'll start bearing fruit. You're going to start, you're going to, listen, not only does God say, I'll bless you from heaven, but God says, I'm going to make you a blessing. I'll make you a blessing. And now you're going to spread your branches and you're going to have a beauty because the fruitful boughs Read John chapter 15, friend. It says this. Here's the will of God for his people. That you bear fruit. That you bear more fruit. And then it says in the same chapter 15 that you bear much fruit. That's the beauty of the olive tree. And then the smell of Lebanon. And what was that, friend? Here's the sweetness. My, the sweetness that fills the air. And your life, instead of bitterness or backsliding, can have a fragrance of the Holy Ghost. And you can have a testimony that's sweet. And God knows we all need sweetened, don't we? And sugar can't do it. And none of the substitutes can do it. But praise God, when God says, listen, when I do this all for you, he says, this is what will happen in your life. This will surely follow. You'll smell as lemon, a savor. See what happens when a person goes away from God? Listen, friend, very quickly. You lose your savor. And when the salt loses its savor, wherewithal shall it be salted? Oh, I only wish I had time. And we've got a mission this afternoon, so you've got to get your dinner in between. But listen, they that dwell, verse 7, they that dwell under his shadow shall return. They that dwell under your shadow, they shall return. In other words, they'll be restored. And friend, let me tell you, you're such a blessing that others that come into your company, they'll want to get back to. They'll want to get the same blessing. You see, your life and mine is an influence. You have a great influence in your life, friend. And they that dwell under your shadow, under your influence, and you either influence them for God or for the world. If they follow you, if the people around you, friend, follow you, and you're better, do you know what you'll make them? You'll make them better. But they that dwell under your shadow, the word of God says, they shall return. They shall be restored. You'll become a blessing unto them. And then it says, they shall revive as the corn. God will stir them. God will send revival. Because as you reach out to them, and then they reach out to others, glory to God, there's a stirring, there's a reviving. That's what revival is. It's among the people of God. And then it says, they shall grow as the vine. And the scent thereof shall be as the wine of Lebanon. That's those that dwell under your shadow. You become the blessing to them. And then they become the blessing to others. That's what God wants to do. That's what God wants to do. And then Ephraim says, verse 8, what have I to do anymore with idols? Yes, she's got to. She bemoans, she repents of her sin. The word of God calls her a backslidden heifer. And she rightly declares, what have I to do anymore with idols? Let me tell you, friend, you and I as God's children, you and I should run away from idols. You say, well, I wouldn't have idols. Do you? Do you not? Do you not? There's many a child of God, let me tell you, friend. It's not an idol of Mary. It's not an idol of anything else. You have an idol in your heart. And you've got to have the dearest idol I have known, whatever that idol be. Help me to tear it from my throne and worship only thee. Ephraim shall say, what have I to do of idols? I have heard him and observed him. This is God says, and I will, I am like a green fir tree, from me is thy fruit found. Here's the path. Who is wise? And he shall understand these things. Prudent, and he shall know them. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the just shall walk in them, and the transgressors shall fall therein. The need to walk the path of wisdom and understanding. What's that? In accordance with the word of God. That's pure wisdom. That's real understanding. Walking in the ways of God. Well, may God help us to do it for Jesus' sake. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank thee today that thou art a God ready to pardon. We thank you, Lord, that you've said in thy word that if we forsake our ways, the unrighteous man's thoughts, let him return unto the Lord, that thou wilt have mercy upon him unto our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Oh God, bless your word to your people. Encourage us. Help us to walk in the path of holiness. For we pray in Jesus' precious name, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. I just simply say today, get back to the Lord. Thank God he will restore the ears that the locusts have eaten. Amen.